Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi everybody, producer Al here. It's TSFP Presents re-release time, and it's time for another discussion of another classic team. This one, one of my personal favourites. Phil, Sid and I discuss Valencia, the five-year spell in which they lost two Champions League finals and won two league titles. Remember, for more of these TSFP Presents episodes, in fact, access to our entire archive, including our new series, More Super Seasons, you can join us as a patron over at patreon.com/TSFP.
Hello patrons, welcome to the latest edition of TSFP Presents Classic Teams. This week we're all back in the Podmobile to discuss a side that dominated Spanish football at the start of the 21st century and almost dominated European football as well. Yes, we're talking about Valencia, specifically the side, or sides, from 1999 to 2004. I said side or sides because when we were talking about doing this programme, we were talking about how different the teams were, the one that won the Copa del Rey in 1999 and then reached those two Champions League final in 2000-2001, and then the one that won two league titles in 2002 and 2004 and the UEFA Cup. We're also talking about three different managers as well.
There's a huge turnover, isn't there? We could easily have divided this into two or done it as one big pod.
And it's not just that the players go, it's not just that the manager goes, it's that the identity of those teams is totally different. You know, the kind of, if you like, the formation of a really good side, which is that incredible counter-attacking team that reaches the cup final in 99 and then of course the Champions League final the following season, slightly shifted by the Champions League final the season after that.
Well, yeah, even between those two finals, are six different starters in
And you go to the 99 cup final, and the only two who are still there when they win the league are Canizales and Carboni, who obviously are still there the 2000 European cup final. But between the 2000 and 2001 European cup final, by then you've lost Jukic, you've still got Farinos, but he doesn't start in 2001. You've got Aymar has arrived by 2001, isn't there in 2000. The forward line keeps changing all the way through this. I mean, Claudio Lopez, the kind of, if you like, the what would you call him? The spearhead, if you like, of that great, yeah.
No, not the flea.
The spearhead of that great
counter-attack. What a great nickname. As always, the Argentinians have the best nicknames.
Well, and Aymar was the payaso, wasn't he? The clown.
Yes.
I never found him that funny, personally. Yes. But it's completely changed.
Was a cabezón as well, apparently.
Yes.
Yes. So we're talking about sort of two or three or four or five different teams within
a whole
this
series
time.
Of classic teams.
All of them taking place in Valencia between this period. Claudio Ranieri, the first manager within this time period, of course, he was there from 1997 to 1999. Then he goes on a relative high, having won the Copa del Rey final and qualifying for the Champions League for the first time ever. In fact, he leaves in 2000, doesn't he?
Yep.
No, or 1999-2000, but they qualified for the Champions League for the first time ever.
And winning the Copa del Rey that you mentioned, that was important because that was their first trophy since 1980, I think, since their sort of previous golden era, the Mario Kempes
era. Exactly.
Since then, they hadn't won a thing. Mm. And so winning that Copa del Rey, we were discussing the other day, the Mendieta goal in particular in that Copa del Rey final.
You tweeted it from the podcast.
Have a look. It's on YouTube. It's probably the best four touches and the best cup final goal ever. A chest, a thigh, a flick over the defender, and a finish from Mendieta, one of the goals in that 3-0 win.
Yeah, go watch it. There is. I mean, that's the first thing. Before you do anything else, press pause on us. Yeah. Go and watch it and come back and press play again.
So you see what we mean? It is a combination, I guess, between the Bergkamp goal against Argentina and the Paul Gascoigne goal against Scotland.
Yeah,
yeah.
And better than both.
I think it's better than both. You were saying it's better than Gazza's. I'm not sure it's better than Bergkamp's, but I am impossibly biased when it comes to Dennis Bergkamp, don't ignore what I say about
it. But I mean, it is worth kind of picking up on this, because the nature of that team was that Mendieta would kind of bomb through and join the forwards, and Lopez would kind of lead the forward line. You had Kili Gonzalez by the second European Cup final, but not in the 99 final. You had this kind of very, very dynamic team. And it's worth remembering that they reached the 2000 European Cup final by totally taking apart Barcelona in the semi-final. I mean, just this kind of incredible wave after wave of attack, but incredibly quick, very, very vertical, this phrase that we repeat a lot, and very, very different to what comes later. So when you say that the kind of that first cup final is really important, because it feels like it sets an era in place. I think it only feels like it sets an era in place with hindsight.
Yes.
And when you look at it as a run of games, because at the time it didn't, not least, well, maybe it did in terms of the next two European Cup finals. But when Benitez takes over, for example, as manager, jumping on a bit, it feels like he's taking over a club that's in crisis. You know, economically, they're not in great shape. Their best players have gone. There's all sorts of kind of internal divisions. There's a new president who never fully has the backing of all of the shareholders at the club, of all of those who can put him in place and take him out of place again. Mm. There's a great line. I think it was Benitez himself, or if not, it was someone talking about Benitez, described when Benitez arrived as, they haven't signed a coach, they've signed a bullfighter. You know, someone who could kind of manage these beasts running at him.
Well, Benitez was quite an interesting appointment at that time, and a controversial one, because you looked at the teams he'd managed before that, and it was Valencia was a huge
Tenerife
step up.
And Extremadura, you know, I mean, it was miles off that
as well.
Level. Yeah.
So in that sense, he was himself a surprise appointment.
We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. We need to talk about Claudio Ranieri, and we need to talk about Héctor Cooper as well.
Yes.
So Ranieri, his first of two spells in charge of Valencia. And then he left.
Went to Atletico.
Yes,
of course. The team that they had just beaten in the cup final.
In the cup final. Yeah. Why did he leave like that?
Well, he fundamentally left. I mean, there's always those other doubts beneath the surface.
Because it could have been different for him, no? I mean, I don't know. If he'd
stayed. Could have been.
It worked out all right in the end.
The reality, I suppose, is you have the opportunity to go to Atletico.
Mm. At that time, that was definitely seen as a big step up.
I mean, talking about an Atletico team that's won the double in 96, that, you know, we look back on it now and say, wow, they went down. But there was no way they were going to go down.
Mm.
That team should never have gone down. Mm. It was far too good for that. And of course, as we've already talked about with Atletico before.
Yes.
That was a completely bizarre set of circumstances that brought that about. And Ranieri, I know there were players in the Atletico Madrid squad at that time who were very, very disappointed with what they saw as his failure to practice what he preached, because he was aware of the financial and economic and institutional crisis at Atletico Madrid and tried to create this kind of unity between squad and cuerpo técnico, as they call it in Spanish, against the club, and then he walked.
Mm. Yes. Talk to me about everyone's favourite chain-smoking, gruff-voice Argentine, Héctor Cooper.
I really quite like Héctor Cooper, funny enough, but he wasn't always that popular. And one of the reasons he wasn't that popular was because he was a little bit dull. So you'd gone from this really quite exciting, albeit counter-attacking team, really quite exciting team, to a manager who decided to really reinforce his defence, a manager who, as to use the old joke, if there was a competition for coming second, would come second.
Mm.
And, you know, this is a guy...
I mean, famously cursed in finals, although that's always a bit unfair, I think, because, you know, to be cursed in finals, you have to get to enough finals to lose.
But then you would expect to win one or two of them once in a while. I mean, obviously, his most recent one was Egypt, and I remember interviewing him before the recent Copa Africa. What do you call that in English?
African Cup of Nations.
So the African Cup of Nations, and him talking about, well, you know, people talk about this, but exactly as you say, you've got to get there, you've got to take a team there, you're not necessarily favourites. And it is worth pointing out that in the 2000 European Cup final, despite the fact that that season domestically they're miles better than Real Madrid, everyone knows they're not favourites for the final. They're certainly not favourites in 2001 against Bayern Munich, and you know, it went all the way to the penalty shootout. You know, he admittedly they were favourites when he blew the league on the final day with Inter Milan, when they had Brazilian Ronaldo playing from Brazilian Ronaldo, if I remember rightly, sitting on the bench in tears when it happens. But Héctor Cooper was a curious one, and I remember very clearly a lot of fans not liking him at all and whistling him and booing him, but some of the groups of fans at Valencia trying to stand up for him and creating actually a certain tension between groups of fans about, you know,
Cooperistas.
Yeah, you should be defending this guy even if we don't like him because he's our coach, which I know is a pretty novel idea in some Spanish clubs.
He's currently the manager of Uzbekistan.
I didn't know that, I must confess.
He's been around the club.
I don't know if they're getting 20 finals anytime soon.
But if they do, they will lose them.
Yeah. I mean, those two finals were incredibly depressing from Valencia's point of view, because I think as
obviously so the first final is in 2000.
Let's clarify this.
Where they lost 3-0 to Real Madrid in Paris.
And like we said, to get there, they'd beaten Lazio in the quarterfinals and thrashed them 5-2 in one of those games. Sid mentioned beating Barca and demolishing Barca. In the semis.
Genuinely, boom, 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 running through Van Gaal's Barcelona team, and it was just like this kind of. Where are they all coming from? There were too many of them on the pitch, it felt like, almost. I suppose it's perhaps would it be fair to say a slight Jurgen Kloppish kind of touch about them, in that it was a bit wild, it was a bit kind of...
Okay.
It was counter-attacking, but with loads of movement everywhere. Probably a little more direct than Klopp, in the sense that it was look for the front guys and have everyone come and join. But really exciting to watch. Mm. And that was kind of the remnants of that previous team. But then you get what Cooper, as I say, tries to do, is reinforce from the back. And they become a lot less exciting.
So they lost that final 3-0 to Real Madrid. Mm.
Having been miles better than Real Madrid domestically.
And also, worth pointing out, this is their first time ever in the Champions League as the Champions League as well. Mm. They hadn't qualified for it previously. So they qualified for the first time, get to the final, lose to Real Madrid. The next year, they go all the way to the final.
I was at that final.
Were you?
Enough, yeah. I can remember very, very little of the final and loads about the journey to get there. I went with my dad and my brother.
Oh, right, okay.
And we flew to some airport somewhere in the south of France. I can't remember which one. Hired a car and drove round to Milan. And on the way, and literally drove to the game and from the game and back again. And just falling asleep at the wheel. I remember taking a wrong turn in Genoa and going down an old street where it was like some sort of stereotypical thing. Genuinely a dark street in the middle of the night, seeing rats run across it and people huddled round, you know, those bins with the holes in, braziers are they called? Where they're trying to warm their hands.
Oh, wow.
In Genoa, having taken a wrong turn. It was quite bizarre.
Wow. But you saw Bayern Munich beat them on penalties after
7
1-1.
Penalties each.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just that, you know, they beat them. It was close. Santi Kanithadis told me a nice story about this. When was it? When did Pellegrino go to Southampton? A year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I phoned Kanithadis up to say, look, Pellegrino goes to Southampton. I need to write a profile piece about him. Can you tell me about him? It turns out, Santi Kanithadis is pretty much Pellegrino's best friend.
Okay.
And he started saying, oh, he's brilliant and all the rest of it. He said, but hang on, I am very biased here, so take everything I say with a pinch of salt. But he was telling me about the build-up to that final and telling me about Pellegrino panicking about the possibility that Valencia would win,
yes.
Not that they would lose. Saying that, but if we win, there'll be no motivation left. There'll be no, because this is, you know, the everything in their entire history for Valencia. If we win, there'll be... And Kanithadis basically says to him, look, let's worry about that after we've won. And of course, it's Pellegrino that misses the vital penalty.
Misses the third
so
of the
maybe he shouldn't have worried about winning. Or maybe he did it deliberately to enable them to usher in this Champions era of winning the league twice in 3 years. Maybe it was deliberate. Maybe he's a genius.
So we've got Pellegrino to thank for them going on to lift the league trophy in 2002. They did it again in 2004. And they won, of course, the UEFA Cup final in 2004 as well. Under Rafa Benitez.
Yes.
Who comes in, and as you said, quite a few eyebrows were raised when he was appointed.
A lot.
And not for the first time in his career as well.
Now, that's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this was the golden age of Rafa Benitez as well, I guess.
100%. I mean, look, he wins two. And I think before we go on and kind of dissect Benitez, I almost feel like it's worth putting a marker down here at this point. What he did was absolutely mind-blowing.
Mm.
To win two league titles in 3 seasons, to win the UEFA Cup, to have beaten that Real Madrid team, that Galactico Real Madrid team, which is true, was full of flaws. There's no doubt about that. It was full of flaws. But to have outdone that side with what he had, which wasn't a huge amount.
And not just them, but at that time you had Depor. You know, we've covered Euro Depor in a previous episode.
Yes.
They finished ahead of Depor. I think Depor were second in that first league title season, weren't they? So that was they had Tristan for them topping the goal scoring charts.
Mm.
So it wasn't about even that, just beating Real Madrid. It was finishing ahead of Depor, finishing ahead of Barca, who were a bit of a mess at that point anyway. But
although they were coming back. So, for example, when they win the title in, which one of the two is it? I think it's the first. No, it's the second one, in fact.
Yes.
When they win the title in 2004 and Real Madrid lose their final five games and completely collapsed, but Barcelona were recovering then. That's sort of Ronaldinho season, and Barcelona finished ahead of them. So they've beaten, admittedly, an embryonic Barcelona team, really good Barcelona team, and that Real Madrid Galactico side with Beckham as the sort of star signing that year, having won it when it was Zidane the star signing. Mm. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that in Zidane's season, the trip away to Mestalla is his first league game for Real Madrid. Or it's certainly his first away game.
But it's his first
away game. And I remember after the game, I was at Mestalla that day, him basically asking Michel Salgado, will it always be like this? Because Valencia would just, I mean, quite tough as well, and borderline dirty at times. But Valencia were incredibly physical, very, very athletic. And the game was just too quick for him. Mm. You know, he had a big crisis at the start, Zidane. And it was kind of prompted a little bit by that performance. I think they won 2-1. Mm. And it was just brilliant. And it was one of those where you get that sense that the kind of the stands and the players are in it together. That, you know, the movement seems to fit the noise. And it was, they were a great team. You mentioned top scorers, Al. Mm. Valencia's top scorer that season, they win the league. Yeah. Ruben Baraja with 7.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Well, this is the thing. That season, that 2002 league winning season.
There's a bus going past. I don't know if it's Benitez parking it on the goal line. It does look a bit like a team bus, although it's got the name of a bank on the side.
If we ever upgrade the Popmobile to some sort of tour bus, it'll be about that size. And what I was going to say was that season, Valencia scored fewer goals than Depor, Real Madrid, Barca, even Celta, I think finished fifth or sixth or something. But they conceded much fewer goals.
I think that's 29 Valencia. They conceded,
27 to Depor's 41 and Real Madrid's 44, for example.
That total of 27 was the lowest of the decade. I went and checked to everyone who'd won a league title. It was the lowest champions.
I'm assuming total. That Simeone has outdone that now. I think he probably.
Oh
has,
yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Oh no, but of that particular of decade, that particular so from decade, yeah. of the noughties,
of the noughties. Yes. Yeah. I mean, genuinely, look, Baraja 7, Salva 5, Rufete 5, Angulo 4. Those are their top scorers.
Yeah, well, shared around. You know, everyone chipping in.
And that team, I mean, one of the things that was really, really striking about it was just how much of a run they had at the end. Mm. I remember being in Vallecas against Rayo, and Baraja scores this great free kick, and it's about 4 or 5 games from the end. And that was the moment we thought, they're going to do it. They're going to win the league. And what really happened, Baraja had been injured for a lot of the season, and Aymar had taken a long time to kind of properly settle, which is why if you go back and you look through the list, it quite often people say, well, the classic team of that season doesn't include those two. But it absolutely should. Even though I think Baraja only starts 17 games and Aymar starts something like 15. But because they together, those two, are the driving force in the last 10 or 12 games of the season. So Baraja is a runner from midfield, and Aymar is the one who makes sense of the fact that they're only playing one up front, which sometimes is Angulo, sometimes is Salva Ballesta, very occasionally is Juan Sanchez, if I remember rightly, as well. And those two were absolutely brilliant in the last 3 months of the season. Aymar and Baraja, wonderful. And of course, all of it held together by David Albelda. So Albelda stands there and Baraja does all the running.
Yes. Just to give a context to some of the names, I mean, we've mentioned quite a few names, but throughout this period, so you start off 1998 to 2000, you've got Canizares, Djukic, Pellegrino, Mendieta, Kili Gonzalez.
Yeah, very nice, remember him, he went to Inter.
Farinhos, Claudio Lopez and Angulo, who you've mentioned. Then 2000 to 2001 or 2, you get Ayala, Baraja, Vicente, John Carew.
And then giant Norwegian John Carew,
enormous. Yeah. And then 2002, you get Albelda and Rufete and Aymar coming through. And in 2004, you finish up with the likes of Mista, Marchena, and Curro Torres in the team.
Yeah,
as
I mean, Curro Torres is obviously it starts with Anglomar being the right back, of course, the Frenchman, and then it becomes Curro Torres who takes over from him. But as I said before, you know, it's only Canizares and Carboni that are still there when they win the league. That had been there when they won the cup in 99, and you can only really add. Well, Farinos has gone by the beginning of them, but you can only really add Kili Gonzalez from the European Cup final in 2000, who still were there when they win the league the first time around. But he gets replaced effectively by Vicente.
I mean, that's a big turnover in a small amount of time.
Extraordinary. And obviously part of this is because of the financial crisis. Partly it's because you have a situation in which you get to 2 European Cup finals in a row for a club like that. And of course, the immense majority of the players have two. There's a dual factor. it seems to me anyway, this is kind of interpretive, but there's a dual factor here. When that happens and you play for Valencia, two things happen. One, you're in demand, because you're part of the team that just went to the Champions League final. Two, you're in demand and you play for a club who realistically doesn't expect to be back. And so that what happens inevitably to overachieving teams, they get broken up.
And especially at that time, there was quite a lot of money, for example, Italian football, Serie A. So that's why you have someone like Mendieta going to Lazio when Lazio was splashing the cash.
And Fadinos to Inter. And then, of course, you get Barcelona with the Luis Figo money. Don't forget that as well. They use the Luis Figo money. And so they signed Gerard Lopez, for example, who'd been at Valencia. And so there's a kind of whole series of change. And, you know, we mentioned those two. The player of the year for me in the first season, clearly Aymar and Baraja, with Kanitharis in goal, who was absolutely brilliant.
The 2002, you mean?
In the first of the two league titles, so yes. 2002. 2004 is Bethente. That year, I mean, I know it's only 1 year, but that year Bethente was amazing.
La Liga Legends, you were very gushing about Bethente,
yeah,
weren't you?
All of these Valencia teams, really, I think it's because of the age that we were. Because we are, you know,
it's the right
17,
era,
18,
start seeing
really
it.
Getting into European football and sort of falling in love with these teams and...
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the words economic crisis. At this time, sort of in a social context, Spain is actually sort of booming financially, and particularly in the Valencia region, a lot of, which latter would come back to bite them, but a lot of houses are being built, there's a lot of construction. When the financial crisis hit in Spain in 2007 or 2008, it was because of a property bubble which burst horribly, and particularly in Valencia, the Valencia region, their regional government is in a staggering amount of debt still, and it has been hit very hard.
And the level of corruption is absolutely extraordinary.
Staggering. But at this time, in terms of the social context of the period and the region as well, it's actually sort of booming.
Yes.
Economically.
Yeah, yeah. And as I say, and then there's this kind of almost a sense of taking advantage of it, but the money is not well used. And of course, maybe this leads us to the most famous of all of Rafa Benitez's quotes, when he complained that he'd asked for a sofa and he was brought a lamp, and it was Canobio and Oliveira that he didn't want. But actually, Oliveira did kind of all right. I mean, not brilliantly, but he did kind of all right playing up front with, actually sometimes on his own, but sometimes with, and this is the best thing of all, fancy having a striker called Mister.
Yeah.
I was going to say, tell us a bit about Mister. Well, Mister, I always quite liked him. And not just because he had the bad hair with sort of the blonde highlights and the mullet and everything.
And he was Murciano, and he was actually quite an interesting talker at times, but he didn't talk.
Did you understand him?
Yes, well, that was part of it. But that season when they win the league in 2004, he scores 19 goals in the league. I think it's 24 in all competitions. He's been absolutely massive for them. And yet, everybody, even that season, kind of thought, he's not that good, is he? And Benitez had made this player who, the way that they played, the counter-attacking style suited him. He would still miss chances even then, but the way they played meant that the chances he got tend to be very clear. This is a guy, and I looked this up because I wanted to check that my sensations were not wrong. This is a guy who scored 99 goals in his career, 14 years. So on an average, you know, you're talking about less than 9 a season, right?
Well done.
Yeah, there you go. And yet he gets 24 of them in 1 year.
Yeah.
And that, in a way, tells you that year was such an outlier. It was such a year when everything kind of came together. And, you know, he would normally play up front more or less on his own, sometimes with Oliveira, with either Rufete or Jorge Lopez on the right, with Vicente on the left. And Vicente, as I say, that season was just brilliant. It was very, very curious. And he used to talk, and he's interesting, as I think those players who've embraced Benitez have been, because these are players who nobody, of Benitez's players, very few actually really like him. But those who recognise that Benitez made them so much better can tell you great things about the way that he worked. Fernando Torres is a very good example. Javier Mascherano is another very good example. And Mister is one of them. I remember an interview with Mister in which he basically said, look, you would not believe how often the things that Rafa said were going to happen in the game happened exactly the way he said they were going to. Time after time after time. A scenario that you hadn't thought of. And he said, this will happen because of this, this and this. And it did.
And that's the kind of thing that really makes a player sit up and think, well, this guy's got
a player
something.
Who understands that it's not just about his own talent. Yeah, and that's one of the problems, I think, that Benitez had at other clubs, is that players who believe that it was about their talent and only about their talent resented the imposition. But players who felt either limited or sufficiently serious to believe that there were other things they could do would come to really admire him. I think not very often have great affection for him, but really admire him.
What about the UEFA Cup final in 2004? They beat Marseille by 2-0. A Marseille side that had Didier Drogba in it.
Didier Drogba, who sprayed champagne on me. I was at the semi-final where they beat... I can't remember which way around it. Is that year I saw them play Newcastle and I saw them play Liverpool? It must have been Liverpool in the semis and Newcastle in the quarters or the last 16 or something. And we're in the press room, normal thing, post-match press conference. And Drogba bursts in with this bottle of champagne, starts spraying it around. Which, to be fair, a load of people with laptops don't appreciate that much. Yeah. I thought it was quite funny because I wasn't there writing. I was there commentating.
Spraying champagne in a semi-final seems to me a bit
Well, they had just reached the final, to be fair.
Yeah, no, but that's what I mean. Like, you haven't won. Like, save the champagne for when you win something.
Although that Marseille team, I mean, it was a success reaching the final.
Yeah, sure.
And I must admit, we didn't know much about Drogba at that, but as I say, I'd been twice to the Velodrome that year to watch them back in the days when the company I was working for had the rights to the UEFA Cup. We did some very strange games. I've been to Auxerre a lot, put it that way. Yeah. Much more than I ever thought I would. And it's not the most amazing place. And yet Drogba stood out a mile, and Valencia totally dominated them in the final. Mm. If I remember it rightly, they totally dominated them. They were far stronger. There was just a sense that, okay, this is ours. Which didn't always happen in the league.
So they've won two league titles. They've just won the UEFA Cup as well. Rafa Benitez has won three titles. He's the most successful manager in the history of Valencia with those three titles. And then he goes.
Well, he goes for, I suppose, in a way, for the same reason that players go after two European Cup finals. Because there is a sense that maybe this isn't coming back.
Right.
There is an awareness in that second season where Madrid collapsed. Will this always happen? And Madrid will buy again. You know, this is they win the first one in Zidane year, the second one in the Beckham year. There's no sign that they're going to stop signing players. There was a real awareness that they were doing something quite miraculous and that this perhaps was unsustainable. But there's another important point here.
Right.
And that is that Benitez's relationship with the club was terrible.
Well, that was the thing, isn't it? Isn't that the most important point?
Probably. I remember there was a famous
Manolo
Llorente, who later became president. At that stage was, what do you call it?
Director General.
Director General or Consejero General or whatever you call it. And Benitez actually using a phrase along the lines of people who hang around in the shadows with knives in their hands.
Right.
And it was about him. He never actually said it was about him, but it was about him. And the relationship was always very poor. And this comes down again to that kind of infighting. One of the things that Valencia era did very well was create some superficial stability with Jaime Ortiz, the president. Remember the president with the orange wig and then the enormous fan that Rodrigo played homage to last year.
Yeah.
And he'd come in after Paco Roche, and Paco Roche was much more aggressive, much more pugnacious, much harder to like, to be honest. Whereas Ortiz, while he was a bit of a straw man, he was a bit weak, he was likeable, and he kind of papered over the cracks for a few years, but underneath the surface, Christ alive, the situation wasn't good.
I always say, well, people ask me, you know, about the fan bases in Spain and in Real Madrid, like, oh God, Real Madrid fans, God, they're a bit unbearable, aren't they, or whatever, like this. And I always say the most difficult fan base is Valencia, because they are not Real Madrid or Barcelona.
No.
So even Real Madrid and Barcelona expect to win everything every year, but so do Valencia fans now.
Yeah.
Is it because of this golden period?
Got a little bit spoiled, maybe.
I wanted to take this back to what we started with, that thing about Hector Cooper. There was a bit of that then. There was a bit of whistling of Hector Cooper then. So maybe, I mean, a friend of mine, I don't know how much we want to kind of share this idea or embrace this idea, but he always said that one of the reasons with Valencia is that Valencia is actually a city of plenty. It's a very rich city. It's a city that, although it's on the coast, doesn't turn towards the coast. It actually turns inland to rice fields. It's been a place of abundance, and so there is this
kind of
sense.
Everything they need there.
There is this kind of sense that, you know, we should be big. We are big. We are, you know, we are, and that almost there is a slightly spoilt nature to it. It's a wonderful place, by the way.
Oh, of course it is. It's a fantastic city. Spain's third city, about a million people, long, lovely beach, wonderful climate. Great place to visit if you haven't already. What's going on with the second stadium, by the way? Have they got a second stadium? Is that ever going to happen?
Still there,
it's still there.
Happening.
Oh, just checking. So, last 10 years they've had two stadiums. Is it more longer?
Quite brilliantly, they were paying people to turn up each day because you get punished if you have works that are not ongoing, that you just leave a place to. So, they were literally paying two people to turn up each day and kind of act like they were working.
With a hammer or something.
Once in a while, sweep up.
That came a little bit after the classic teams period. So, there we go. We'll leave it there when Valencia were at the peak of Spanish football and almost at the peak of European football.
My favourite thing, just maybe to close this, is to give an example of just how much of a success Rafa Benitez was. There's a poll for you, and I really like this. I was looking for this earlier, and I remember writing about it, so I went looking for the statistic. There was a poll in the summer of 2004 asking Valencia fans if Rafa Benitez should have a street named after him. 25% said yes, which may seem very low, until you see what the other options are. 9% said, of course. 10% said, where do I sign? 11% said fine by me, and 44% no.
Right.
Rafa Benitez should not have a street named after him. He should have two.
Well, so there we go. King Rafa of Valencia. We'll leave it there.
Carrer Rafa Benitez.
Yeah, Carrer. Al Carrer.
Al Carrer
Rafa. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another edition of Classic Teams. Join us then. Adios.
Cheerio.
Bye.